Welcome to Perspective Transformation with Marty and Friends. Whether you're looking for encouragement, practical training, or clear focus, you'll want to grab a notebook, as today's guest trainer shares rock-solid strategies you can implement starting immediately. Sponsored by WomenSpeakers.com, here's your host, Marnie Swedberg.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. Welcome to Dream Development for Leaders. We're here today with our guest, Tiffany Jo Baker, and we are going to be talking about 9 perks of knowing your life's purpose, 6 small steps to move from dreamer to doer, 3 things to overcome perfectionism and embrace good enough, 7 keys that unlock your God-given assignment for this season, 3 ways to know you're doing what you were created for, and the one thing to do to build your faith for your God-given dreams. Our guest today is Tiffany Jo Baker. She is a 3-time surrogate, speaker, strategist, and podcaster who uplifts the soul and success of women walking out their why so they can birth their God-given dreams. You can learn more about her over at TiffanyJoBaker.com and also invite her to speak via WomenSpeakers.com. Super excited to have you here with me. Welcome.
Thank you, Marnie. I'm so excited to talk to you about this today.
You came into my life not too terribly long ago, and I just love your heart so much and what you're doing in the world. And I just am excited to share you with my audience today because we all need to first believe that God has a dream for us and then believe that he can help us walk it out.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. That's so true.
Yeah. Good, good, good. Well, we're just going to dive in because we've got lots of ground to cover. You guys want to grab a notepad or something because we're going to go through it here quick. So you have 9 perks of knowing your life purpose. Can you, before you go into the 9 perks, what is a life purpose? Like, how do you define that?
Yeah, the life purpose is knowing what you were called and created to do.
Yeah.
So when we were in our mother's womb, what was that thing that God spoke over us? Like it talks about in the Bible, he spoke over Jeremiah as a prophet to the nations. What is that thing that we have been called and created to do? Those are our purposes throughout our life.
Yeah. Okay. So you have 9 perks for us. What happens good when we know what it is?
Yes. And I'm just going to run through these. So I hope you have a piece of paper and you're ready to go. So the first thing is the daily mundane takes on meaning. The daily mundane takes on meaning. Number 2, it makes it a whole lot easier to resist distractions when you know your purpose. Yeah. It's also easier to make decisions because we are walking and doing what we've been called and created to do. It can be more fun, energy producing when we're walking it out. We tend to be more content when we're walking out our life's purpose. We have enthusiasm. It's energy producing as we're walking out and doing what God has called and created us to do. Number 7 is we make meaningful progress in our life. You know, it said sometimes you can either live by design or by default. And so when we're walking in our purpose, we're making meaningful progress by design. Number 8, we become more inspiring to others. If you've ever seen somebody who's walking it out and doing what they're supposed to do and they know what they're supposed to do, it's inspiring. Yeah. We want to grab hold of that vision and even walk with them in it. And number 9, our creativity is fully utilized.
So good. I love it, love it, love it. And I want you to go back and tap on the first 2 again for me.
Okay. The first one, the daily mundane takes on meaning, right? As we are doing the same things, getting up, and it seems like we're doing the same thing over and over again. But when we know those small steps are actually leading us to something, it gives us motivation. It gives us purpose to do that. Right. And then number 2 is it's easier to resist distractions doing that.
Love that so much. I remember standing at the diaper changing counter with my firstborn and saying, God, really, is this what I'm supposed to be doing, as changing diapers? And God dropping in my heart that if I would do it with him, it would have an eternal reward. And I remember that changing everything, just the purpose of not necessarily changing diapers for the rest of my life, but that no matter what he asked me to do, if I would do it with him, there would be purpose in it. And there would be even an eternal reward, which is like, whoa, for changing a diaper, that's pretty cool.
Right. And I love that too, because so many times we can be like, I'm doing this for God. I'm changing right. the diapers for him. I'm making yeah. the dinners for yeah. him. I'm sending the emails for him. But right. Marty, you hit on it. He wants us to do it with him.
Good. Yeah, it's all a relationship. So 6 small steps to move from dreamer to doer.
Yeah, I think this is so important. We often see the gap between where we are and where we want to be. And a lot of people stop there because they're just so overwhelmed by it. But when we can do these small steps, so let's start with 1, create the necessary space in your life. Mm-hmm. Did you know that if you do something for just 5 minutes a day, that's 2.5 hours in a month? Hmm. So even if we can create 5 minutes of space, that can give us a block at the end of 2.5 hours that we can be using. The 2 step that we can do is begin with baby steps in mind. So many of us are stuck on multitasking, but instead baby steps, mini tasking. And again, it's like creating that small pockets. It's breaking down that overwhelming thing into small, doable, bite-sized chunks. 3 is generate daily reminders until it becomes a habit. So even if that's if you're a checklist girl and you are a to-do list girl and you have that written there and it's in front of you, maybe it's a post-it note on a mirror, maybe it's even putting it on your phone, like giving yourself an alarm to do that. At a certain time every morning, my husband's alarm goes off and I'm like, and that's his reminder to pray for certain things. So generate reminders. 4, be aware of dream thieves. These are the things that come in to try to steal, kill, and destroy. Some of them come in like time thieves. Some of them come in as distractions. Some of it comes in as mindsets. But beware of the things that are trying to steal, kill, and to destroy from the dream and the purpose that you're walking out. 5 is one of my favorites. It's celebrate your progress. And so instead of just having a to-do list, have a ta-da list. A ta-da list, the things that you got done, and that could be the 5-minute chunks, the mini tasking, whatever it is, focusing on what you do get done. And 6, don't wait for perfect conditions. Clarity comes with action as we move forward and take steps.
What is so good. What is in the Bible, what's one of your favorite dreams that God gave somebody?
Ooh, that's a great question. Oh, I think, and I don't know that this came as a dream per sure. se, but I would
what
say,
a vision.
Yeah, I would say Esther's purpose. Ooh, yeah. When Esther walked in and took the position that the yeah. Lord had given her, yeah. she was a little wary yeah. at first, but when she realized she was yeah. walking in yeah. to a divine purpose,
yeah.
a divine plan, a divine position yeah. that the Lord had given her. And if you see there was so much equipping in yes. her process. Yes. Right. It wasn't all of a sudden you're just right before the king. It was right. years and time spent, spirit, soul, and body, for her to get ready.
I love that story too. And in there's the guy that's over all the gals that are getting ready to go into the king. I can't think of his name right now, but she says to him, she says, I'm going to let you choose for me. What perfumes and all that, because he was the pro. And I just thought, wow, that's so, I honestly think of him kind of like the Holy Spirit in my life, mm-hmm. kind of the one that knows it all and has seen it all and can go ahead and help us. And, we aren't supposed to be doing this alone. We're supposed mm-hmm. to be doing it in both community with our fellow believers, but also in community with God, yeah. communion with God, just constant communion. So I love that. I love that that's one you picked. Okay. 3 things to overcome perfectionism and embrace good enough. So first of all, mm-hmm. are you a perfectionist kind of by nature?
I would say recovered perfectionist. Yes, for sure.
And I'm so not. I have to tell you, mm-hmm. I'm so not. My husband one time, I said, oh, you're kind of being a little perfectionistic there. He goes, Marty, if 10 is a perfectionist, I'm a 4 and you're a -3.
I love that.
Just not. I need people to help me because otherwise it's just yes. a mess all the time.
Oh, I agree. All right. Well, the 3 things to help you overcome and embrace good enough. The first one is to understanding and accepting the unconditional love of God. So many of us, perfection comes from a place of a wound.
Yeah.
from a place of a striving of maybe a lie that is attached to us. And so if we can get whole in our identity and who God is and how much he loves us, we can't do anything bigger, better, more perfect for him to love us anymore. So that's the first thing, is to know that you are fully loved, fully seen, and you don't have to even do anything for that. God loves you so much. And the second thing would be is to learn the difference between excellence and perfectionism. So perfectionism is this hard driving, never going to be good enough pursuit. Well, excellence is doing the best with what you have. So if you have, if you're operating at 60% and you have an hour, you do the best with your 60% in that hour, and you be good with that. And then next time you try to get a little bit better. And so one of the things that I love to do with this is give myself a power hour. And just, if that's all I have, is to set the timer. Maybe it's sending back emails. Maybe it's researching something. But instead of focusing on what I don't have, focus on, I've got an hour. I'm going to do my best with that hour that I have. And number three, and the cherry on the top, is pursue peace and not perfection. Pursue peace and not perfection. And when you have experienced true, true peace, you will never want to let it go. And you'll start to, your heart will start to ping when you start to strive, or you start to hustle, or you start to get on that perfectionism, performance-ism circle, loop, ring. But always let the pursuit of peace. And as we know, peace is a person, the Prince of Peace, that we can pursue in our striving.
Yeah. I know for me, just the audience of one is kind of what you're defining here. Instead of trying to make everybody else happy, or even trying to make myself happy. I just am like, every night I'm going to bed, how's it with us? And I'm really looking for a good, well done, my good and faithful servant. And sometimes God and I have a few things to talk about before I go to sleep, because it wasn't. But a lot of days, we don't have to wait for heaven to get God's feedback on how we're doing with this. We can feel the peace. We can understand whether things are peaceful and calm, or whether there's some agitation there, right? And to just walk in this peace. And it's not that you're not doing anything. You are. You're doing stuff. I always say the person I don't find in the Bible is the one that lays in bed all day and just says, thanks God for taking care of everything about for me today. Not at all. But as we're going, we don't have to be striving. Yeah, we can be walking with Jesus and doing it through his power. So seven keys that unlock your God-given assignment for this season. So I like that you made the distinction there. You don't have to know what your assignments are for your whole life. You just need to know what to do next, right?
Yes. And that's so refreshing. And especially as we're coming into a new year, like this it's season by season. And sometime with the Lord, it's day by day, you know, his mercies are new every morning. So trying to figure out what are my God-given assignments? Like Moses said, if you're not with me, I don't want to go. Like, what are those things? God's with us, like we've been talking about as we do this. So some of the things that help you figure out what you're supposed to be doing in this season. The first one is, if the Lord has given you a word for the year, or if there's a theme or a topic that continues to come up, take note of that. Write that down. That's a key to unlock your God-given assignment for the season. The second one is, just practically speaking, what are the things, even on your calendar for this season? Maybe it's like we just recently had our youngest graduating from college. That automatically made our priority her senior year last year something that we wanted to focus on. So practically, on your calendar, what are some season focus for you, for your family, for your business? The third one is one of the things that my mentor told me, because at one point I'm like, how is God using me? Like, I have so many random experiences. And it's like, what is going on? And she's like, Tiffany, look for that common thread throughout your life. How is God using you, no matter the season, no matter the situation? There's a common thread. So take a look at that thread throughout your life. And if you don't know, ask Jesus. He will show you what that thread is and how he's been using you throughout the years. The fourth one is scripture. Maybe your life verse or a verse that has really been sticking out in this season. Take note of that. The fifth one is living your living legacy. How do you want to be known? How do you want to be remembered? That is a key to this your season's purpose and assignment. All right. And the sixth one are your core values. These are the things that hopefully you've identified. And if you haven't, it's a really good idea to do it. But what are those things that matter most to you? They become guiding principles for decisions, for seasons, for when you're in that place and you're like, I have all these opportunities. Which one am I supposed to take? What's important to you? And then the last one is your why. What is your why? What is that thing of that keeps you going, your purpose? You know, a lot of us have written out like a mission statement or a vision purpose statement. That encapsulates your thread, your living legacy, and how God's using you. So those are seven keys to be looking at, to be thinking about, to be remembering that can give you a key and help you focus, laser focus in on what the season holds for you.
What's coming to mind is so good. And what's coming to mind is during COVID, watching. So womenspeakers.com, which I host 1,400 speakers over there, including Tiffany, of course. What happened during COVID is that I watched and some of the speakers actually just kept going. They kept, they were so clear about what God had called them to do. They just kept going. If they couldn't go out and speak, then they were doing podcasts and they were doing blogs and they were doing, you know, whatever, articles and things like that. Or they were doing smaller online groups, Bible study groups and things like that. They kept going. Whereas other speakers and even planners as well, I see it everywhere, but kind of what I called stood under the doorframe waiting for the earth to stop shaking. And it got kind of paralyzing under that doorframe because they didn't know when it was safe to come out. Mm-hmm. And I think that this understanding your assignment, understanding your mission, your vision, your purpose, these things help us so that when we hit something like a COVID or it could be anything, mm-hmm. when you hit it, you don't stop. It's mm-hmm. like, yeah, okay, a little speed bump. Mm-hmm. But you don't stop. You just keep mm-hmm. going because God hasn't stopped. Mm. God is still working.
Yeah, that's so good. I love that analogy, Marty. That's really, really powerful because there's always going to be hiccups and things, right?
Exactly.
Trials and tribulations. And
setups,
so,
right.
yes, and, mm-hmm. and distractions. And we have to pre-decide what we're going to do when that happens.
Yeah. And I think, so I was reading the Fox's Book of Martyrs last week. It's like that, not a fun read at all, but I was wanting to understand a little bit more about God and about how, where was he during this, you know, during these, I wanted to, you know, not in a accusatory way. I just wanted to understand more about him. And what I heard this time as I went through was just how they experienced God's presence in the midst of torture, even of death, of, you know, just horrible. Mm-hmm. And God was there with them the whole time. And the question was, were they focusing on him or on the pain? And it goes back to Romans 6-8. The mindset on the spirit is life and peace. The mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God. It's actually painful. It makes us have pain with God, not just pain, but we have pain with our relationship with God when we're focusing on what isn't going right. Earlier, you said, instead of focusing on the time you don't have, you say, I have an hour. What can we do? And that's the whole shift here is when you have a purpose and when you know that God has a plan for you and he loves you and he's, you know, orchestrating this thing, you have the courage to say, okay, I don't have much, but whatever I have, I'm going to give it to you.
Yeah. So good. The parable of the talents.
Absolutely.
And then he multiplies what we use.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. And even in those stories of the fish and the loaves, it's funny because in the story where there were more fish and loaves, he made less. And in the story where there were less fish and loaves, he made more and had more left over. His economy is not like our economy. We just have to get on track with what he's thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Three ways to know that you're doing what you were created for.
Yes. So the first way to know that you're doing what you're created for is if what you're doing, you do well. You do it well. You have a gifting in that area. And you also, there's a grace. So there's a grace and there's a gifting. And grace is known as God's power, the power of God to help you do things His way. And so having His grace and a gifting, you do it well. Number two is that you enjoy doing it. So it's energy producing for you. Now, that doesn't mean it's easy. That doesn't mean it's maybe not be painful, but there's some energy. There's some enjoyment in what you're doing, some fruitfulness, some fulfillment that comes from it. And the third way to know is everyone is not doing it like you. So you do it well, you enjoy doing it. And though a lot of people might be also doing something like it, they're not doing it just like you.
Right.
You are unique. God created, formed in your mother's womb for a specific plan, purpose, and thread throughout your life, like we talked to you. So finding your niche is actually finding where your natural mixes with God's supernatural. And that's the place that you stay. And that's the place where you know that you're doing what you were created to be doing.
I did a program years ago called the ABCs of Success, and worked with Olympians and leaders and different people to work on it. And Gabby Douglas is an Olympian, a gold medalist gymnast. And she has a quote that I just love. She said, "The hard days were the days where the gold was won." She had this mindset that it wasn't the easy workout days that were going to get her the gold. It was actually the hardest days that were going to get her the gold. And as we're walking with God, we may find that we don't like some of what He's walking us through, but we can't see what He's going to use it for either today or in the future. But nothing ever goes unused with God. He uses everything. And not just for us, but for a lot of people around us too.
So true.
Yeah. Oh, great. Okay. Final question. The one thing that we should do to build our faith for our own God-given dreams.
Yes. So the one thing to do to build your faith is to not forget what God has already done. Yeah. Focusing on what He has done and the miracles and the steps and the things that He's already done gives you faith for the next one. And the way they did this in the Old Testament is they would build memorial stones. And throughout the Old Testament, they would erect this structure through stones when God would reveal Himself in a new way, in a new name. And they would remember what God did. And every time them or their ancestors or generations to come would see those memorial stones, they would remember what God did. And that would give them faith for the next thing that God was going to do to help them to move forward. So practically speaking, one of the ways that I even do that in my own life is I will memorialize certain things that God has done. One praise we've had is the Lord provided a four-wheeler for my husband who flips ranches for a living. And we have that we have a picture of it in a photo frame to remember. And so there's certain things throughout our home that are strategically there to as memorial stones to remember this is what God did. And it not only increases our faith, but it gives us the opportunity as an instrument to share with others what God has done and how to build their faith as well.
Keeps those things fresh in mind, because we do tend to forget. One that's coming to mind right now that I have forgotten about. We bought a Mexican and Italian restaurant, and they had gotten write-ups from the health department about their refrigeration and heating system. What they were using was outdated and it needed to be, but we didn't know that when we bought it. We saw that after we had to do something about that. It was $17,000 for that machine, and we hadn't budgeted that in. And so we didn't know what to do. We just started praying. And there was a restaurant, a city over, that went out of business and had one of the machines we needed. So I contacted them and just said, we just bought this little business the next city over, and would you ever consider selling your unit? And he said, actually, we're having a hard time getting rid of it. He said, if you would pay for the electrical guy to come and seal off all the electrical outlets, you could just have it.
Yes. Yes, please.
It was $700 instead of $17,000.
Oh, my goodness.
And it was such an answer to prayer and kind of a confirmation to us, too, that God was going to be in this thing. And I haven't thought about that story for a long time, but I was just earlier, it was just earlier today. I'd had the thought last week. And then earlier today, I'm like, I just have to sit down and write down some more of these miracle stories in my life before they're gone, before I really forget them. And I have a lot written down, but I haven't written some down for a while. And it's like, yeah, I gotta do that. It's so important. Mm-hmm. It is inspiring to other people to hear our stories.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. So you are working on a new book right now. Yep. And what was your first book? What's the title of your first book?
It's a devotional, 31-day devotional. It's called Soul Care for Go-Getters.
Yep. That's awesome. And your next one, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So part of my story is I am a three-time surrogate. So part of the way, the thread that God uses me throughout my life is in the kingdom of God as, and this is what God revealed to me, is like in the kingdom, sure. I've made some to be hands, some to be feet, but I've made you, me, Tiffany, to be a womb. And so He has used me as a co-laborer, as somebody who comes alongside women and couples to help them birth the God-given dreams that He's put on their hearts to do. So I was at a conference earlier this year, and the word God gave me for this year was carry, is learning and knowing what I carry, even as a surrogate, but also as a daughter of Jesus. Nice. And so this book is about the things that we carry, that God has given us to carry and to bring forth and to take into atmospheres and to take into rooms, but also the things that we're carrying as women that we were never meant to carry and how to release those and renounce those.
Yeah. Wow. So beautiful. I just love the reality that we are all unique, that God created us, designed us specifically to do particular works. I mean, it just blows my mind, right? That the God of the universe would bother to create me at all, and then to have a plan like that, He has specific tasks He wants me to do. That's so intricate for a God, for the God, right? So amazing. Well, this has been so fun, gone really fast. If you could leave our listeners with one thought here, what would be a concluding thought?
I would leave with the verse, Psalm 138. 8a, and it said, the Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. And as we've been talking about walking with Him, we have responsibility, and we're supposed to be doing what we're being obedient and walking out obedience. But at the end of the day, the outcome is up to Him. And so the Lord will fulfill His purpose. Stay close, stay working with Him, and take each next step that He's been leading you to.
So great. What a delight to have you here, Tiffany. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Marnie.
And you guys, you want to be sure to check out her website over at tiffanyjoebaker.com. And she's available to speak for your group. So you can find more about her over at womenspeakers.com. Thanks for joining us. Hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye for now.